Apex Central listeners, you can find us every Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
All right, we're about to go live, boys.
Welcome to my world. Yesterday, we did a different play.
We are live. Hi, my name is Brandon Walker. This is Pick Central, Barstool's daily gambling show. My voice, I apologize, but I had a good time last night. Not afterwards, but during the game, one of my favorite sporting events that I've ever attended in my life. The Dogs win again. Mississippi State with an incredible win. But we're not going to talk about that just yet. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's introduce the crew to my left and currently dying before our very eyes. It is the great Marty Mush. How you doing, buddy?
Not good, Bob. How you doing?
What time did you get in?
Doesn't matter. Time's not a thing.
Time's a thing?
Nope.
Time's a thing.
Not a thing.
We're in the heartland of America. We're in beautiful Omaha, Nebraska. And time is very, very... We're in the best time zone in America as well. We're in the central time zone. Which
I was Marty Swivel Hips last night.
I was
cutting up a rug.
How was it?
It was good. Big T's a fucking maniac.
Yeah. Big T is the biggest wild card I've ever seen in my life. I didn't think this, but you said it right. He either goes zero, which is normal, or 100.
Yeah, save it up. And yeah. He's also, like, his music is just a 13-year-old girl's music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I noticed that last night. Well, he went, Backstreet got played last night.
Well, no, wait
the DJ Party B.
Well, yeah, that was everybody,
Backstreet
bro.
Backstreet Boys of Fire.
Yeah, like, Party in the USA.
I like that.
Mr. Brightside was awesome.
And Killers are always great. The world's back when the Killers are playing.
It sounds like you're agreeing with everything he's saying.
Just the Backstreet. Yeah, just the Backstreet.
I'm sorry. Backstreet and NSYNC, they come on, the party starts.
I like Timberlake.
If anybody's going to dance to NSYNC, it's going to be me.
He's convinced.
Brad. Oh, like, Jesus Christ, Brandon.
What?
That what? Joke.
It was fine.
That's fine.
Okay.
Nobody got it. But.
No, nobody got it. That's fine. There's prepubescent people here. There's nothing but sperm in the audience. All right. So here we go. Hey, Big T, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Oh.
Ew.
Jesus, get off. Take the mic off. Get out of here.
Good God.
It's tough.
You sound like Tennessee's baseball team. All right. Hello, Carl.
Hello, Brandon.
How are things?
Things are well.
You disappear on us.
No, I didn't disappear. Mincy and I made the cognizant decision that he would go throw himself into the Mississippi State chaos last night.
Yeah.
I would take a step back so I'd be prepared for the show. Went out and had a couple drinks with the Vandy Whistler.
I saw that. Yep. I saw that. That was right here, right?
And then had coffee this morning with Al Leiter.
No big deal.
So I want to be sharp. I want to be sharp for you guys. But I do have rugs to cut. I do have good times to be had. And I'm pretty sure tonight I'm going to rip this fucking city apart.
Let's go.
Good.
That scares the shit out of me.
Dougs, how's it going down there?
I'm doing well. It was a tough loss yesterday. But, yeah, we'll do it.
Did you go to the game last night?
Not last night, no.
Where you been?
The hotel.
Okay. Cool. The beautiful Ameristar in Council Bluffs, Iowa. It's been fantastic. They've hosted us this week. Go by there. They got some sort of promo today, right?
Yeah, I believe the promo today is from 2 to 6 p.m. If you go, and all you have to do is just place a baseball bet, college or pro, and you get a free Barstool and Omaha shirt. The shirts are great. They've got a limited number left, so go on by there. And, Carl, I believe you're going to be hanging.
I'm going to be there from 2 to 6 p.m. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'll be buying some beers.
Yes.
Why would you not be allowed to say that?
You never know. Someone might come in and say, hey, regulators don't like it if you mix and match a promotion with a great-tasting, less-filling, 96-calorie, delicious Miller Lite. So,
you going to be all right?
No.
But they're there. I'm handing them out.
Good.
Let me see some ID.
So come see Carl at the Ameristar Council Bluff from 2 to 6. He's going to be buying beer, if he can legally say that.
If I can say that.
So, last night, let's talk about last night. Mississippi State in the eighth inning was getting no hit. We're at the College World Series after all, right? So we're going to talk a little baseball. They were getting no hit. It was a fake no-hitter, They were making contact all night. They were hitting line drives. They were hitting balls to the wall. It was a fake no-hitter for like six innings.
That doesn't make you
absolutely. It was a bullshit no-hitter, okay? It was pretend.
I mean, Gary looked pretty damn sharp to me.
Not really. I mean, we were hitting line drives to the second baseman. We were hitting, and they were getting 90 hoppers that went through. Anyway, it was a fake game for about eight innings, and then Mississippi State woke up. A freshman hits a home run. Kellen Clark hits a home run. And then all of a sudden, Virginia makes the dumbest decision I've ever seen in a baseball game. They pitch to the SEC player of the year with the base open. Second, third, one out. They pitch to Tanner Allen. He puts in the bullpen. All of a sudden, Mississippi State is in control of the College World Series.
Well, you're missing something.
What am I missing?
Mincy, the pitch before, goes, oh, Stephen Schock, the Barstool favorite, comes in the pitch for Virginia. Next pitch, three-run home run. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I also said Mississippi State was due at the top.
Well, that was also – obviously, they would do. They would know.
No, but it's like a joke. But the Barstool State people were all over me just like, shut the hell up.
Brandon, wasn't that stupid to pitch to him?
You don't think so? You subscribe to the theory, don't put the go-ahead run on base?
Because a double – I mean, listen, he ends up hitting a three-run homer. Mississippi State wins the game. But if you bring in your dominant closer, and I think he's a little tired, and you can see –
No, he's banged up.
When he steps off the mound, if you ever see a reliever shake their arm after a pitch, like, they probably need to go see an orthopedic surgeon. But I would say when you have a runner base open like that, it's a two-run game. I'd rather try and get two outs, trade a run, go 4-3.
But here's the issue with that, Carl. You're facing a left-hander. You're facing the SEC hitter of the year. Behind him is a freshman right-hander. So you would have the right-on-right matchup. You would get rid of the left-on-right advantage for Mississippi State. Plus, you would put the SEC player of the year. I mean, this guy's batting 400. And you decide to pitch to him with a guy who's a slider specialist who just hangs it right in there. Bang, new game.
You bring up great points.
I like that.
And that's why I'm not in the dugout.
It's the old Bill Belichick thing. You never want to let the team's best guy beat you. You want to make their second, third option beat you. That's what he's been doing forever with New England. And, Brandon, I just want to ask you, as a lifelong Mississippi State fan, just the euphoria. I saw the moment, the clip. You know, what was the home run like for you? I saw some real joy.
Well, we're winners. We are winners at Mississippi State, and I expected to win. And that was really just me saying, okay, yeah. Our moment has arrived. I knew we were going to win, and here it is.
So I asked you yesterday, how much would you pay for this position you're in right now with baseball to be your football team?
How much would I pay for us to be in control of the college football playoff right now in a game like that?
And you could get, like, a loan, too. You don't got to pay all that.
I would $200,000.
Last night it was $100,000.
Yeah, I know. I thought about it. I would pay $200,000. I'd finance it over a 15-year period.
Yeah.
But I would pay $200,000 to see Mississippi State in the college football playoff. Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, well, you're going to die before that happens.
Yeah, without
Shimmy Christmas.
What's that?
Enjoy the moment.
I am enjoying the moment.
I'm telling Marty. You know.
No, he's going to croak before it.
Well.
No, he's telling you, let me enjoy the baseball game.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we go to football. It's like, those are dark places. Like, yeah, right now, Brandon's actually like a naturally happy place.
You always got to bring someone down when they're happy. It's how life goes.
I'm learning that.
Yeah, it's like showing up to the parade of the 2016 World Series and asking you about the Bears.
Yeah. Or just bringing up the Bears, period.
Right.
Why'd you do that?
So we are in Omaha. We've got thousands of people out here. It's a huge crowd here at DJ's Dugout. I'm just embarrassed at how many people are here. I'm going to give you a cowbell.
I feel like there's a lot of hangovers here today.
Can I just say something? We've had a crowd. We've had a full crowd the first 2 days, and they're filing in right now. You guys haven't said a fucking word. You're just sitting there looking at us. Can we act like we're here? Come on. There we go. Okay, so we got a lot going on. Ben, the College World Series, every day game has sucked, but every night game has been epic. NC State, Vanderbilt was 1-0. Texas, Mississippi State was 2-1.
Vandy, Arizona, 7-6, 12
innings. 12 innings. And then last night, one of the great live sporting events I've ever seen. As College World Series go, how's this one been?
I think this one's been amazing. I think you just got tons of great storylines and just the drama and the games. And I'll tell you what else we've had. The weather's been great because a lot of College World Series, you're dealing with tons of rain and tons of delays.
It's about a pour right now.
Shit. It's going to be a tornado tomorrow.
I can't do anything right this week. I'm trying to compliment things and still get
stuck. Yeah, but whenever you talk, you just will things into existence.
Well, it's been beautiful weather. The scene's been amazing. The crowds have been great, over 20,000 at all the games. I mean, I don't see how you could ask more than four just incredible games at night.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Again, it's my first time. It's everybody's first time, right? Nobody's ever been to the College World Series. Mm-hmm. Carl, you're a college baseball player. I don't know that you
I don't know how big a college baseball fan you are. I'm not a huge college baseball fan, but how's this event for you as somebody who's never been here?
It lives up to the hype, and I've spent some time with Mincy talking about college baseball programs, interacting with some of these guys, and, like, it's I hate to, like, sound cliche or sound like a pussy, but, like, it's special. Like, it's so special. We walking around the concourse last night, a little bit of rain's falling. Mississippi State's in an absolute dogfight with Virginia. You got the Vanderbilt team is walking around taking pictures with people, shaking hands. On the other side are the NC State guys.
Yeah.
Got a chance to talk to those guys. And, like, the fact that the players are mingling with the crowd, and it's such a laid-back atmosphere. I would love to go to a Final Four next year just so I can compare it. I'd love to go to a national championship football game just so I can compare it. To me, this is like a bucket list event now, or I shouldn't say like that. This is like an annual trip now.
I've never been to the college football playoff. I have been to the Final Four. It's very, very corporate. It's very, very, suit and tie kind of atmosphere. It's not nearly like this. This is have a beer on the back porch kind of vibe.
And the tent setup that they have, the beer gardens, like the different stages they have for concerts and stuff. I don't know if this is – maybe I should slow down because I don't want a bunch of people to come in here and show up. But, like, to me, I look at this couple of years. This has the runway to be, like, the perfect Barstool Sports annual. Like, come on out to Omaha. We're ripping it up for the week.
No.
Build it, they will come, boys.
You're exactly right. I mean, this event has Barstool written all over it.
Now, be honest, too, because with you, if Mississippi State doesn't come down here,
I wouldn't be here.
But now that you've been here with Mississippi State, you're probably not. Are you as opposed?
No, I would come every year now. I would absolutely come every year.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to hear.
And frankly, Mississippi State comes every year anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. But absolutely, if we can make a yearly presence of this right here at DJ's Dugout.
Let's do it. Yeah. Are we in Darwin? Where's Darwin at? He says we're in. He owns the place. 6 locations, working on a 7th, trying to get down
everybody
to Lincoln.
He talks to people.
You talk to people a lot. Can you tell me about Al Leiter?
Yeah, so I was getting coffee at Starbucks across the street, and it's Al Leiter. I mean, obviously you recognize that guy. He walks in, he's next to me, and I'm hesitant to be like, yo, can I get a selfie? Or like, yo, you're Al Leiter, because it's like, dude, he's out here watching his kid doing his own thing.
Right.
But at the same time, it's my job to, like, say something to Al Leiter. So we're just mixing the coffees, and I was like, hey, man, I'd be remiss not to introduce myself. I work for Barstool Sports. Just loads of respect for what you do. And, you know, if you had a chance, we'd love to have you come across the street, talk to us for a second. And he's like, you work for Dave? I'm like, yeah, I work for Dave. He's like, and he hires that big guy who can't get a fucking pick right? Instantly goes to Mincy. He's like, yo.
Watch his son.
He's like, what's going on, man? And so he's a cool guy. Here's where it gets really cool, though. I asked him just a simple question about the tournament, pitch counts maybe. And he goes, how much do you know about the game? And I was like, a little bit. I played. He's like, where'd you play? Illinois. You know, a little college. I wasn't appropriate. He's like, you played? You know? Let's have a seat.
Really?
40-minute conversation. He's so, breaking down my mechanics. I'm showing him the GIF, all the stuff. He's one of the coolest guys I've ever met.
You and Al Leiter just jumped into film work right there.
He was like, he was asking me about my mechanics or how I threw. I was like, do you want to see? And he was like, I would love to. Now, this is what I'm about to tell you guys is one of the biggest power moves I have ever witnessed in my life. He's looking at my mechanics, this stupid video I have on my phone, and he's like, yo, how old are you right now? I'm 34 years old. He's like, you're 34? I was like, yeah, fucking washed up. He's like, you're washed up. Pulls out his phone, goes to Baseball Reference.
He goes to his own Baseball Reference.
Points to his own Baseball Reference page. He goes, how old am I in the 2000 season? I'm 34 years old. Oh, look, I won 16 games, pitched to a 3.2. Oh, I was an all-star. We went to a World Series.
Yeah.
Oh, now look what I did at age 38. He's like, you're 34. You're not washed up. Let's get you going. Let's get you on a throwing program.
Oh, wow.
Let's get you to the big leagues. Not even joking.
So Al Leiter's about to get you back on the show.
He thinks he can get me up to 93, and he likes my sinker, and we need to work on my slider a little bit.
I got a setting. Al Leiter's a little delusional.
he might be, but I would let Al Leiter be delusional to me.
I would let him do whatever he wants to me.
That's the dirtiest talk anybody's ever talked to me.
Yeah. Wait, so you were just like in the stretch at Starbucks?
He got up and started showing
like,
me the...
The baristas be like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Dude, these are two baseball guys just living in the moment right there, carving out our own spot in Starbucks. Yeah, I got out of the chair. He was showing me how I collapsed my backside if I stayed stronger. Like, there's a pole vault. You got to get through the pole vault. And I was like, yeah, I didn't get through the pole vault.
Marty, if anyone knows magic moments occur at Starbucks, it's you.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true. I'm also a professional athlete. People forget. Just had to throw that out there.
Oh. Did you get a paycheck for that appearance?
Hell no. I got nothing. I also got rained out.
Yeah, he only played one inning. Two innings.
And foul ball.
Had one at bat, struck out in three pitches.
That
so, shout out Al Leiter.
That foul ball, though, was unbelievable.
I don't want to just talk Al Leiter because I feel like you've got a second story that's also.
Well, I mean, there's somebody in this town that you have a. Would we call it a beef?
I believe the Vanderbilt Whistler is the worst person on earth. I believe he is worse than terrorists. He's worse than all criminals. He is the worst person on earth.
Criminals.
Yes, yes. That is how bad he is. He makes the game about himself. Vanderbilt's the best program in the country currently, or they have been for a while, and he makes everything about himself. And you met him last night.
His name's Jeff. All right? Be nice.
Jeff. So, Jeff, wherever you are.
I can't believe his name's Jeff.
I fucking hate you.
I was a little disappointed, too. I was hoping for, like, a Chester.
Right.
Yeah, something like just Leonard.
Like a, yeah, like a villain name.
Yeah.
Jeff's, yeah.
So, how
Jeff's a little weak.
How was Jeff?
Maybe wrong.
Jeff was surprised. Jeff was like, what do you mean? I was like, hey, dude, like, you're fucking famous. Fortunately, his son was there. And his son was able to kind of, he's like, no, Dad, like. Yeah, no, you're a big deal. Like, people know who you are. It's like, really? Yeah.
So the Whistler's so stupid, he needed a translator?
He was kind of downplaying it. He had two. Yeah, actually, that's true. It's funny. Right. He had two of his buddies with him, too. A couple old-timers. And I was looking at these two guys. I'm like, you guys just, these are like the Whistler's buddies. They're just like the fucking crew. I'm out with the Whistler.
Imagine being the Whistler's buddies.
Yeah, now.
You think you Whistler's?
I know they were drinking hard booze. These were not domestic beer guys. These were like pour it right out of that bottle into that glass. Do not dilute it for a second. I just don't know what it was. I think it was brown.
I have a question. I look at the Vandy Whistler and what the standard Vanderbilt fan is, you know, private school. I mean, he never set foot on that campus. Right? There's no way.
No,
he has to just be a
Jeff.
Fan. No, no, but I mean, it's just when you think of a Vanderbilt fan and their fan base. He definitely is an outlier.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who worked his soundboard on the third stage at Tootsie's for about 30 years and has since retired and now just takes up, you know, residence down the street and loves going to sit in the outfield. Am I wrong?
No, yeah.
No, I think you're right.
But when you said that he didn't know he's – I know for a fact I've seen – him do interviews with, like, the National
Paper. I've seen articles as well.
Yeah, I think he's faking, like, oh, shucks me, like the guy who whistles every single
pitch. It's humility.
Right.
Now, he goes, so what's this for? And I said, I work for this company called Barstool Sports. You know, don't worry about it. And he goes, Barstool? And he goes, who's the one who was writing about me or talking? Well, I was talking shit about him the other day on Twitter. I was like, oh, you mean Brandon Walker?
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I did. I wrote the article. I said the Vanderbilt Whistler is the worst, and I believe that. If Jeff walked in right here, I'd buy him a beer and tell him he fucking sucked.
Would you respect him, though, if he was just having sex whistling the entire time?
Whistling while you twerk?
Yeah, like,
I go, hey, can we do a whistle on camera?
Yeah.
Can we do it right now? And he goes, in here. Like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah,
buddy.
This guy's all of a sudden.
Shut the fuck up.
Worried about whistling in public.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to interrupt anybody's lunch.
He's been at ESPN for a dozen hours in the last couple of weeks. Like, get out of here.
I'm starting to like Jeff. He respects the whistle.
We should try and go out with Jeff tonight.
I'll go out with Jeff.
Message to Jeff the Whistler at Vanderbilt. We're going to be out. Get in touch. We'll take you out.
Yeah, after that conversation, he's really going to want to go out with us.
Oh. I think Jeff knows what we are. We're
I think he wants to bury it.
Yeah, Jeff, me and Jeff are going to.
Great shirt.
That's a good shirt. Are you giving me that shirt?
Hell, do you work for OSHA?
Yeah,
oh, fantastic.
I
thank
love
you very much.
Best too.
I appreciate that.
Let's go dogs.
Hell yeah, dogs win again.
Live show.
I'll give you a shirt in a minute. I got a box full of them.
I have a quick question about last night.
Yes, please.
Y'all have done a lot of stuff with the Virginia closer. A little bit of mixed emotions when he allowed that home. What was that like?
I had zero mixed emotions.
Okay.
Okay, so we did an interview with Stephen Schock. Of course, he's very electric. He's fantastic. But when he came into the game to face Mississippi State, I wanted him to fucking die. I wanted him to give up a home run.
And you don't actually mean die, though.
Not die, but die in the sports sense. I wanted him to fail and for my team to succeed. I'm very selfish like that. Now I'd like to go shake his hand and say, hey, good game, buddy. But
so we did an interview with him, like, and we were giving him celebrations, and he texted me after because I told him to slap his knee and just stare at the other person after he got everybody closed it. But obviously yesterday wasn't good for him.
Did you mush him?
I think, no, Mincy did.
I did. For sure.
Mincy, I walk so Mincy can run. No one even.
Oh, yeah. No, I've taken over. I'm the mush in college baseball.
People just call me Marty now.
The irony of it all is, though, The Mississippi State Bulldogs are so hard-headed from startable, they are immune to it.
No, we're winners.
Yeah, y'all are 2-0, and I'm 0-9.
Correct,
state
yes.
Games. I mean, it's, like, unbelievable.
You picked State trying to mush them, trying to get them
No,
to
I thought y'all were going to win. I always
did last night, but
I always
take
the SEC teams. Always. I take the SEC teams.
I don't think that's a great strategy.
Yeah.
Well, apparently not. But SEC's the best in baseball.
Yeah, but
well, SEC, you're fighting, though.
When you get here, conference affiliation doesn't matter, though. When you get here, it's all about, you know, I don't know. It's all about matchups. It's all about.
I definitely don't know either, so that's fair.
By the way, I would be I'd be making a mistake if I didn't go ahead and ask you to tell people so they can try to make money. What is your pick for Vanderbilt and Stanford tonight?
I mean, I'm going down with the Doors. I've got them to win it all. They're -137. I don't love the price, but I mean, I'm on the Doors wagon. I can't abandon them now. If they do get by tonight, they'll have Rocker Friday to have a shot to get back in it. But Stanford, I'll say this. No one's ever been more wrong about anything than me about Stanford baseball. I'm 0-4 in their games, and they've all been blowouts. Like, I picked them once, and they got destroyed. And I went against them three times, and I got destroyed. So
we all going Stanford, boys?
Yeah, that
Stanford.
Not a lot of confidence, but I'm going.
I like Stanford a lot. Well. This is a matchup because I know Vanderbilt's pitching is very thin after you get from Kumar and Leiter. Like, and that's not because those guys are so good. Like, they're legitimately just thin after that. And the Vanderbilt lineup lacks. They always have one guy that's like, yo, that dude's a legit first fucking rounder. I don't see that right now.
Right.
Maybe Bradfield Jr.
Dominic Keegan is that guy, but he's kind of been slumping a little.
Yeah,
and, I mean, he's a monster in the 3-hole.
Yeah, but not that. It's just not that sexy. It's just not that, like, big presence. I don't know. I know he's good, but it's not a Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, that was the only time they've been shut out all year was the other night. But, I mean,
impressive.
Of course. That's incredible. When I needed them.
Yeah.
All right. At Barstool Sports, we love and appreciate our listeners. Without you, none of us would be able to do what we do every day. So once in a while, we try to bring you something good. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for not. It is BetterHelp online therapy. We all take care of our bodies. We work out. We do things like that. We eat healthy. Over this tough of years, this has been on many of us. We might want to think about taking care of our minds. There's a misunderstanding of what therapy is. It can be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be sitting around talking about your feelings. When everyone is struggling with something, there's no more shame. You don't have to tell everyone your personal business, but you can talk to a therapist about it privately with BetterHelp Online. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you do not want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. This podcast, sponsored by BetterHelp, our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/picks. That's BETTERHELP.com/picks. All right, so, Ducks.
Yes, sir.
What's the plan for the rest of the week?
Well, there's supposed to be a couple good card shops around here.
Yeah, I heard of a big collectible store that I'm going to go find this afternoon.
Stadium Card Club, I believe. Bob Rosenblatt.
Yeah. I'm going to hit up a couple of those, and you know, who knows.
Do you go to the Bass Pro Shops?
I do occasionally, yeah. I feel like Bass Pro Shops, it's a good opportunity to walk around.
Bass Pro Shops is a wonderful walk.
It's almost like an adult field trip, you know. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, each one is kind of similar. They all sell the same thing, but yeah. I love every single
one. There's a Bass Pro Shops over in Council Bluffs. I'm going to go to it.
There's a Bass Pro Shop that is a pyramid in Memphis.
Yeah, it used to be
the
pyramid.
It
used to be the basketball arena.
Basketball arena.
All right, guys, I'm just telling you.
No, I agree.
But jumped down my throat.
I believe it's
the world's largest Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah.
Good.
I actually went to an NBA game in the pyramid. It was the first NBA game I ever went to. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the Suns
beat the only pyramid in America?
Almost certainly not. There's one in Vegas. Vegas has a pyramid.
Like
Carl,
a
Vegas
one?
Has a pyramid.
Yep.
I thought this was like a real.
It's
one.
Called. It's called.
Excalibur.
Yeah.
Define a real.
Real and fake pyramid.
Is it?
That doesn't. Luxor? That make sense.
Yeah, it's the Luxor.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like Excalibur is the fucking castle.
They all run together.
Yeah, but a pyramid's still a pyramid. I mean, it is a real pyramid.
You can tell when it's real and not real.
I mean, it's not made out of stone or clay.
It's not like the Parthenon in Nashville.
It's not a tomb.
No.
The most pointless tourist attraction to ever be built.
Okay, mister, I don't like Greek and Roman mythology.
Yeah.
Isn't that why they're the Titans? Yeah.
It's possible. I don't know that.
I believe that's why they're the Titans.
That would make sense.
That's why their mascot's a raccoon.
To be fair, though, it is an interesting, like, we're going to recreate a life size. Like, we're just going to rebuild the Parthenon in Nashville.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's there. It's like
mascot's a raccoon.
The state animal of Tennessee.
What?
Is a raccoon.
Have you seen the raccoons that are apparently running around TD Ameritrade this week?
So they're a state animal?
What the hell are y'all talking about?
What's our state animal? Anybody know?
Who knows their state?
I know Louisiana's the pelican, but I have no idea what Mississippi is.
I know our state bird.
Well, I know our state bird is the mockingbird. What's your state bird?
The cardinal.
Oh, that stinks.
I'm not a big cardinal guy. Anytime somebody, you could be in the middle of a fucking doctor could be coming in and telling you about like a cancer diagnosis, and then a cardinal could fly by the window and he would stop and he'd go, oh, cardinal. Right. Like everybody just sees a cardinal. Just stop what you're doing. Relax, guys. It's a fucking state bird for like six states.
Brandon, so I think Mississippi has four. It appears it's white-tailed deer, American alligator, northern mockingbird, and a boll weevil.
A lot of alligators in Tippy Creek behind my house. Yeah, a lot of alligators in Tippy Creek.
You ever seen a baby pigeon?
Who wins in a fight, an alligator or a crocodile?
Crocodile beat the shit out
right?
of an alligator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
More, are they more ornery?
Much more.
They're also bigger. They're more aggressive. Okay. Yeah.
And they hunt humans.
But what about our best alligator?
If we took our best alligator and put it against a league average crocodile, I think our best alligator is probably going to hang
no
in there.
No chance.
Yeah, I mean, they can, 14, 16 feet?
All you have to do is go a zigzag. They can't get you.
You're basically saying, like, if we sent Ohio State to SEC, they'd finish third in conference. Like, that's what you're saying. We take our best alligators, Big Ten.
Don't you put that evil on me, Carl. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I suck Ohio State and Big Ten dick on my podcast, my own Unnecessary Roughness podcast, all the time.
Okay.
Because you're blocked.
Because I got SEC in my handle when I worked at SEC Country a couple years ago. I'm an SEC homer, and I care about is SEC. But I talk about Ohio State great all the time. By the way, it is Win Total Wednesday. I do have a win total in a minute. I don't know if anybody else did that. We do college football win totals on Wednesday, Carl. I didn't tell you.
You didn't but
yeah, you didn't tell anybody.
I actually don't want to participate. I'm not researched.
That's fine. You can participate.
I'll take the Illinois over.
It's 3.5, and I love the Illinois over.
Brett Bielema is moving in the right direction.
They have a legitimate college football coach now, and I think college football is better off with him in it. He's just one of those college football characters, and I love that he's at Illinois. I don't think he's ever going to win championships there, but I think he can consistently win like 6 to 8 games.
I don't mind a Champ Sports Bowl. We go to the Champ Sports Bowl with maybe the opportunity to get to the Outback Bowl once every 5 years.
Yeah, maybe go to Tampa or Orlando every now and then.
Done. Great easiest thing to do. We have low expectations. Not like sitting at the game with Big T where he's like, we're winning the national championship. Like, that's a tough way to live.
I don't do that for football.
You absolutely do
it's
that.
It's baseball and basketball.
Every year.
You do that.
No, I don't. You've watched games with me. I don't do that.
I've watched games with you, but every August you think Tennessee's going to go in.
No, I don't. I would prefer that.
Of course you'd prefer it.
It's not going to happen.
I prefer a lot of things.
There was one point at halftime of the Georgia game last year when we were leading in Athens that I thought Jeremy Pruitt might win a national championship. It went quite downhill from there.
I didn't know there were that many white-tailed deer in New Jersey. You ever been in Jersey? There's white-tailed deer everywhere. There's a lot of deer. There are a lot of white-tailed deer in Illinois. There are, right? Not in Chicago.
Yeah, but in Central Illinois, we've got, some would say, very good deer hunting.
That's what I've heard.
Rich people own big ranches or something.
I fish, but I don't hunt. I don't like to kill animals.
Likewise.
Yeah, I don't like
to. Can we circle back to that pigeon?
Have I ever seen a baby pigeon? I can't admit that I've ever seen a baby pigeon.
A lot of pigeons.
Is it your theory that baby pigeons don't exist? Are they grown adults? Or are they born adults?
It's the FBI.
No, man. No, pigeons are indigenous to a part of Spain. They're called rock doves.
God bless you. What'd you say?
They're called rock doves. They're from like the area of Gibraltar because a pigeon, they assimilate so well in cities and urban environments because of all the concrete and stone and stuff. And these are birds that like live on rock faces in Spain.
That sounds right.
I was asking about the baby pigeons.
No, but he's telling you about
pigeons. They're not FBI. Unless FBI is back in Catatonia or whatever.
Well, it'd be like CIA.
I don't think
they're CIA. Do you think? So you think pigeons are an invention of the FBI to spy?
I don't know. Usually people are babies before they grow up.
But the pigeons could be in their nest.
I think
they don't leak.
You're not going to see them until they start flying.
So fast into adult-sized pigeons that there's
But I feel like I should be walk on a street and see a pigeon pop out once. I feel like that's a good.
Well, they don't nest on the street.
Oh, maybe in a tree.
You climb trees?
No. Last night, the Suns and the Clippers had a hell of a game. Yes?
Could we ask that? Did you guys know the guy could have been completely wrong, that there's no goaltending on inbounds?
No.
So the play last night, the lob.
No, the don't take.
There's 0.7 seconds left. They're down one. The Suns lob to DeAndre Ayton. He slams it in the goal for the win. But it looked like the ball was very, very clearly in the cylinder. And I I was on my Mississippi State euphoria. I didn't really have a chance to really look into it, but apparently there's just no rule about in the cylinder on out of bounds plays. Is that can't be right? Doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right, but I feel like the NBA, they don't make a rule until they cross that bridge.
Yeah, that's also true.
They also review. They had like three reviews in the last 10 seconds.
Last night was one of the worst endings administratively to any NBA playoff game I've ever seen. It took them 40 minutes to get through that review.
The final 90 seconds took 33 minutes, and there were as many reviews as field goals.
Big wow. T, you actually had something last night that I love. And it's the first thing you've ever said that I enjoyed. How would you fix review across sports? Listen to this, Carl.
I don't know that this is necessarily uniquely my idea. I've heard other people say it, but the...
Just take credit, man.
It would be ideal if the replay officials didn't know what the call on the field was.
Yes.
Because there are so many times where it's pretty clear what the call should be, but because the opposite call was made on the field, they're not going to overturn it. And it's just to the point now, like the play in the Tennessee game where the guy was out by a foot.
Yeah.
And they called him safe on the field. That was clear and indisputable evidence. So I don't know why that wasn't overturned. But, like, if we're going to not overturn those, then just get rid of replay.
Because the idea that replay officials are beholden to what the call is on the field.
It's incredibly dumb.
Takes away the actual idea of replay. You're starting at a place you shouldn't be starting at. You should be starting at zero. I love the idea. You should start at zero on reviews. You should have a guy in a booth or a guy in a closet or a guy in New York, and he's not plugged into the game. He gets a buzz. Watch this play. What happens?
Yeah, I agree.
And watch it from every angle.
And if we're going to keep...
You don't like that, Carl?
No, I like it. I'm thinking about the arguments against it. Like, I totally like this idea because then you have this objective, unbiased, like, perfect person make these decisions. I just don't know if there's an argument where the coach comes out and it's like, hey, you know, actually, I can't really think. I'm going to think if I can come up with... If I was a coach, what would be my argument against it? Where I would get screwed by this? Where I would want it in the moment where I'd be like, well, it has to be so, you have to know, you have to overturn the guy who saw it. I don't think that's strong enough.
I think it was crazy that the umpires overturned the Mississippi State guy getting hit.
Yeah, so what happened there, I think, was, I don't know if it's Big T or TJ told me this, but so the Rowdy Jordan gets hit, the umpire doesn't see it, he calls it a ball. And then they get together, the umpires talk about it, and they say, oh, he did get hit, go to first base. At that point, they can then review it on a challenge.
Yeah.
I don't think they can review it before that because it's a ball and a strike. So I think they actually just gave him the base so they could go review it.
Got it.
That's what made sense.
Also, I think Jordan, like, showed him on his arm where he hit him. The umpire was like, well, shit, I didn't call it. And then he saw the mark, and he went to the other umpire. He was like, yeah, he definitely got hit. So. Yeah.
Well, at least good for them to put the umpires swallow an ego and put themselves in a position to try and get that call right. You're not going to get that from everybody, but if someone asked me, they're like, who, we were walking around the park. They're like, what is it? Why? What's with these umpires? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, they're just as ego driven as those head coaches, as the starting pitchers, all that stuff. Like, this is their thing. And it's no disrespect to umpires, but like, these are guys that started off umpiring, either it's little league or low level high school. And then you climb this path. They have regular jobs. These aren't full time jobs for these umpires. They're all like, you know, sales guys and
out here,
the College World Series stuff. Yeah. So this is a huge accomplishment for these umpires to get here too. It's a very big deal. A lot of these guys have been umpiring 20, 25 years before you get a call to go to the College World Series. So it's hard to, like, attack these guys and be like, you guys suck at your job, when they are kind of more amateurs than they are professionals. But I don't think people know, like, that there is a huge ego aspect to these guys from all the time it takes to get here.
Especially, I love that point. That being said, though, yesterday a Tennessee assistant coach got thrown out for slamming down his clipboard when his pitcher walked a guy. Now, I don't know if he slammed it down because he hated the call or if he hated the fact that his guy walked the bases loaded. But the third base umpire started walking in. He walked 30, 45 feet to get halfway down the line. And he's, you know, 300, he's 200 feet away, and he walks in to throw the guy out. He has no idea what he's throwing the clipboard for. That was ego-driven umpiring.
The furthest umpire from him. Because U2's in the first base dugout. It was, yeah.
And the other thing, third base umpires, think about this for a second. Nobody has an easier job in sports. You don't make a, unless there's a tag play at third base or a check swing on a left-handed hitter.
Foul ball.
Or a foul ball down the left field line. Other than that, you're not making calls at first base, second base. Nobody's going to a third base umpire. So that's annoying that he'd be the one to toss them. But they do have such a short leash for arguing balls and strikes and bad behavior from coaches, I suppose.
Third base umpire is like the dream job. I know they rotate, though, so you would have to do the plate. But
you're just like, yo, let me get third one
more time. I'm the third base guy.
I
want to be the third base guy on the crew.
Brandon, you're so good at first base. Why don't you do first base? Right.
Yeah. And you like to be in the middle of the field. Why don't you do second base? Yeah. I'll handle umpires got
major
rough
baseball
right
umpires
now.
Umpires are going through it right now.
You think, I was about to bring that up. Thank you both for bringing that up. So last night we had two pitchers, Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo, just take their pants off on the field because umpires are having to check these guys for foreign substances and everything. I wouldn't want anybody to check my pants for foreign substances. But
they're not foreign.
Well, no, they're not foreign. I know where they come from.
Horny boy.
So
he is horned up.
What were we talking about?
You make a lot of sex jokes.
I do make a lot of sex jokes. We have a good time. The coming goes right across the street. All right, so we've got pitchers having to take their pants off. We've got pitchers doing all this. Carl, what do you make of all this? Because umpires are like having to make a show out of looking for this stuff now.
Yeah, I think Joe Girardi, he tried to make an example last night. He said, I thought Scherzer had something underneath his hat. I've been watching him since 2008. I never seen him go to his hat as much as he went to his hat. And then Max Scherzer was like, well, it was the only part I could get sweat on my fucking hand. I think it's as easy as this. Max Scherzer is one of the best pitchers of our generation, his generation. It's like him and Kershaw. You know, I don't know if there's another name that gets lumped in for as long as they've been doing.
Verlander.
Yeah. So
maybe Greinke right behind him.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I would put Greinke behind him.
Yeah.
Right? Scherzer's just, is there no respect? The third check is unbelievable. Two checks, okay,
yeah.
Fine. That third check, I was like livid with Joe Girardi. It's like, bro, and it's not Joe Girardi's supposed to be a baseball guy. He's supposed to be like a shining light for people that don't like all this analytics bullshit. It's like,
right.
Well, Joe Girardi's still calling shots. Like, dude, you're going to be a jack-off like that? Fuck you.
He got the stare down.
Yeah, Joe Girardi was also a catcher for many, many years.
He knows all the bullshit of putting pine tar on his legs and scuffing balls
And
up.
Why are the managers allowed to ask more than once? Like, it seems like you ask once, they go out there, they check him, it's not there, that should be it.
Kershaw had a great point. Kershaw said, managers should be punished if you get it wrong.
Oh, I like that.
Challenge.
Maybe a warning system, and the second time if they're wrong, they're out. Something like that.
So, yeah,
I think the first
like
time.
A fine or like
I don't know, but
because they're going to use it to just mentally mess with the pitchers. You're right.
Scherzer,
it's a free roll. Yeah,
runners on first and third.
There should be a negative in baseball if you get the challenge wrong. Like you just lose it. Like in
you get an out.
Like
or
football,
a
when you lose the timeout, to me is one of the best trade offs in sports.
Yeah, like you shouldn't just be able to like do it. Nothing happens.
No, I like that. I like that. But and then Sergio Romo just took his pants all the way down.
I can't believe that guy's still in the big leagues. He's one of the most unbelievable relievers in the history of Major League Baseball. Sergio Romo, I don't have the data in front of me. He might have never averaged over 90 miles an hour in a season. All that dude does is throw filthy sliders.
But he's always there.
Is he still on the Giants?
No, he's
A's.
He's on the A's, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, so he's still in the Bay Area, though.
He's still in the Bay Area. He didn't have to sell his house. He's
I like
fine.
That guy.
I like Sergio Romo too. All right, let's pay some bills real quick. All right, 888 CBD. We're putting our bets on 888 CBD with U.S. grown hemp extracts and high quality formulas. Their products are winners. And when the stakes are high and life gets hectic, there's nothing better than reaching for an 888 CBD product. 888 CBD is a game changer. They carry a variety of CBD products to choose from, and all of them contain exceptional ingredients and even come in convenient packaging. Try some deliciously different fruit chews or vegan gummies, perfect for taking with you on the go. Or try one of their premium topicals like CBD Deep Relief Cream. Even better, 888 CBD offers free shipping on all products and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. It's exceptional, premium, and convenient. What more could you ask for? Head over to 888CBD.com to find an exceptional CBD experience for you. Use the code PIX at checkout. Receive 25% off your entire purchase. All right, let's do this. Last night was one of the great live sporting events of my lifetime as a Mississippi State fan. It's easily in my top two or three live sporting events I've ever seen. So we're going to discuss what are the best live sporting events we've ever seen. Before we do that, let's run through our picks. This is a gambling show. I went 4-1 last night. Mintz, you've
1-2, but I'm still having a good month. I just lose.
Yeah,
I never win in college baseball.
You've made a name for yourself for being the college baseball guy that doesn't know college baseball, and as far as gambling goes.
Definitely.
I'm
a 14. I hadn't picked up a baseball bat since I was 14. I'm a fan of the game, trying to promote it. I can't pick it. I think that's fair.
You can't. You certainly haven't been able to pick it.
Out of a board.
Okay, so we will go through
it
picks.
Is funny.
I'll go first tonight. Eastern Conference Finals. I like Hawks +8 against the Bulls. Not the Bulls.
Bucks.
The Bucks. Yes, I know. I don't write very well. Hawks +8 against the Bucks. Hawks Bucks over 225.5. Stanford money line to eliminate Vanderbilt tonight. I just don't think that lineup is special at Vanderbilt without Kumar Rocker and Mark Light. What's his name?
Jack.
Thank you very much. Who's Mark Leiter?
Al's brother.
Correct.
His uncle.
Yes.
His uncle.
Yes.
You're all in the family.
Yep. Tigers plus 102 money line against the Cardinals. Here's the thing. Cardinals aren't very good. Cardinals are not a good baseball team. Tigers are shockingly not that bad. I think they're 31-42. Cardinals are 36-37. Have they just been slumping, Carl? They were fine earlier in the season.
Yeah, they did that thing where they, you trade for Nolan Arenado, and then everybody just says, okay, put the champagne on ice. These guys are going to be the best. And I think that kind of, like, takes an edge off the rest of the guys. You know, so then you have a bunch of other guys that are just drastically underperforming.
Sure.
And I do think there's an element of like, well, now we've got Arenado and Goldschmidt. We're going to fucking roll.
And then you got the Cubs playing well, the Brewers playing well. You're in a competitive division, and they're just not really competing right
now. Yeah, you have to – literally every day you have to go out and try and – you have to bring 100% to the field in Major League Baseball or else you can't build these runs and win 7 out of 10. Like, you will be a 500 average team if you go through the motions, and the Cardinals, to me, are a team that's going through the motions.
And I love Mets minus 125 money line against the Braves. And for my win total Wednesday, we do this every Wednesday. I will probably be the only one that does it. I've given them before. I think Iowa State's going to be very, very good. And picking them to win the Big 12 is not a bad idea. But I like LSU under 8.5. He gave over 8.5 a couple of weeks ago. LSU is still with a mascot for a head coach. LSU, 2 years removed from having the best coordinators in college football.
That was not nice.
That's fine. 2 years removed from having the best coordinators in college football. They hired a defensive coordinator nobody else wanted. They had the worst defense in school history last year, even with five-star talent. Something's wrong there. I don't know if it's from the top. I don't know if it's behind the scenes with all the crazy stuff going on there. But they play Alabama. They play Florida. They even have an early trip to UCLA, which is tricky, very tricky. They lose that game, the cheese is going to slide off the cracker very quickly. -8.5 or under 8.5 for LSU. I do not believe in that team this year.
The Big T should follow up off that because he has that written down.
When you said do win total Wednesday, I went and looked, and that's the one I wrote down.
LSU under 8.5. I just think people think last year was a fluke. It wasn't. They still don't really have a quarterback. The Johnson kid, probably fine. But there's,
the national championship was the fluke. They lucked into a generational quarterback and Justin Jefferson and all the guys on that defense.
Well, I mean, what?
I'm going to just go ahead and staunchly disagree with both of y'all. They got their whole O-line back, their whole D-line back.
Quarterback transfer.
Their defensive line was one of the worst units in the country.
Elias Ricks and Stingley is the best cornerback combo in college football.
They gave up 45 points a game.
Yeah, no, last year was a rough year. Pliny was a joke. I think that I know that the defensive coordinator hires coming from Mike Zimmer. He can't be possibly worse. I thought Max Johnson looked good down the stretch. I think it's a bounce-back year for him. They go 9-3. I've got faith in them.
They play A&M, who's better than them. They play Alabama, who's better than them. They play Florida, who's better than them.
I think they handle UCLA, too. They do good in the opening.
They play Auburn. They got all these toss-up games, and not to mention the teams in the West that are right even with
them. At Ole Miss will be tough.
At Ole Miss will be tough. Sure. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I don't see it with them. Awful last year.
Remember when Mississippi
Winter
State
still
beat
year
them last
COVID
year?
Thought.
Yeah, thought that you guys were going to the national championship.
I never said that.
KJ Costello.
You told me that KJ Costello might win.
KJ Costello was 8-1 to win the Heisman.
First of all, I didn't say that wasn't just me. That was the entire country. He set the record 623 yards in his first game. We weren't supposed to get excited about that.
No, you should be excited, but that was a bit much.
It wasn't a bit much. I wasn't the one that changed the odds on him for the Heisman.
But you said that he could, really win it.
Had been a Week 1 Heisman last year, he would have won it.
That is correct.
He would have won the Week 1 Heisman.
Shut out the next week?
No, he
Or is that...
No, he scored 7. against Arkansas. What the fuck laugh was that? Who is... Is there even a woman here?
I don't think so.
That was you? Oh, excuse me.
I love that guy.
Jesus.
You don't go to movie theaters.
Gilbert Gottfried over here. all right. That was my picks. Marty, you go next.
I am going with Stanford. I am going with the Bucks -8. I think that is way too high. I'm going with the Brewers -1.5. I love when I... It sounds so stupid.
It's too high. Like,
he's
so casual. And listen, I didn't doubt you for a second. No, and there's so many people that are just like, yeah, that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, fuck that line. Take it.
I'm taking the Brewers -1.5 because the Diamondbacks might be the worst baseball team ever to play. And I am taking the Giants. I cannot believe the Giants are a good baseball team.
It is weird.
It is crazy that Crawford, Belt,
all those guys are still there.
Kevin Gausman kills me.
Yeah, that one's funny.
They lead Major League Baseball with 109 home runs. Their GM was Theo Epstein's understudy in the Cubs, Scott Harris. When he left Theo Epstein, it was a huge blow to the executive. They didn't see that coming at all. He was a guy they were grooming to kind of take over with Jed Hoyer and team up with the Cubs. So what the Giants are doing is they've gotten away from the Bruce Bochy pitching defense, small ball stuff where, like, he's going to kind of dictate what type of players he needs, where now they are purely analytical. And I think that's the first time the Giants this year are like 100% everything, all their decisions analytical, and they did a great job of going and getting veterans that come in and fucking play. Evan Longoria is still being productive. What's going on?
My guy, he's hurt, but that guy, he's bad. It was bad like 310.
Yeah.
All right, Mintz, what are your picks?
All right, we got Vandy. We're going to the grave with the Doors. They're my pick to win it, so I'm not backing down now. I'm back in the SEC. In the NBA, I like the Milwaukee Bucks. Actually, Marty Mush, I'm the same as you. I like the Bucks. What you said when the line's too high, what he means is Vegas is discouraging. That Vegas is basically saying we want you to bet Atlanta when they come out with the line a couple points too high.
Did you just mansplain my own bet?
Well, no, but I'm taking it too. I like the same thing. The thing is Atlanta just had that game 7-2, and game one immediately after is a little bit of a letdown at the tough spot. So I've got the Milwaukee Bucks. I also have the Brewers minus run and a half fade in the Diamondbacks. And, you know, I'm going to keep riding Oakland A's over run totals until I run into the ground with them because they keep winning. I've got them over 5.5 runs against the Rangers and Oakland minus 1.5 runs in that game.
Big T, what do you got?
Hawks plus 8. Hawks money line.
Oh.
Stanford money line, as we all discussed, and then the LSU under 8.5 is my win total.
Carl.
I'll be quick here. We're going to take Chris Bryant to hit a home run and the Cubs win that hit last night. I think that paid like 650. Get on that. That's our second win of the season on that bet. I'm also going to take Stanford with everyone else because we like the underdogs. I'm going to take the over, too, because I love overs in elimination games in Omaha.
Yeah. You just said the unders yesterday.
I know. We're going to change it up. I made a mistake. I actually like the over. No, that was a big mistake. Lost both unders yesterday. And then I'm going to take the under in this playoff game tonight between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. 226 to me. I don't know. I think there's going to be a quarter in there where it's like 24-22, and that's all you're going to need to win an under.
Fair enough. This weekend, it's double trouble as NASCAR pulls into the peaks of Pennsylvania with drivers looking to triumph at the Tricky Triangle Pocono Raceway. On the 50th anniversary, this iconic track plays host to the only doubleheader on the 2021 Cup Series schedule. It'll take twice the guts for double the glory. You've got great bets on the Barstool Sportsbook exclusives about NASCAR. Kyle Larson is at 3-1, Chase Elliott 7-1, Kevin Harvick at 14-1. With twice the opportunity to bet on NASCAR this weekend, stay tuned for our picks later this week to get all the right angles. Be sure to tune in to NBC Sports Network for a NASCAR doubleheader weekend, starting this Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern and continuing Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Dougs, I didn't mean to shut you out there. Did you come with a pick today?
I did.
Good. What you got?
Well, I think the Lightning are in the series tonight.
You think it's over for the Islanders?
I think it's over. Sorry, Stu. Atlanta plus 8.
Yep.
And I'm going to take the Braves over the Mets.
Yeah.
I tried looking up the Mets starting pitcher. Said no available information. That's not a good sign.
No,
so I'm
going to
take the Braves over the Mets, and I'll go with Vandy tonight.
So
they're doing the game from the stadium tonight, Frank, with Frankie, the stream?
I don't know that I know that.
Okay.
I'm sure it's going to be a great stream wherever it is. They are doing it from the stadium. Thank you very much, TJ. So, yeah, great Islander stream tonight. Is Stu going with them? The Borellis? And
this could be the last home game ever for them in the barn.
Could be.
Could be.
I don't know. I didn't put it on my car, but I kind of like the Islanders to keep this thing alive and to go and go to a game 7. The Lightning are a better team, but I don't think that always matters in hockey. It's just weird things happen in hockey, and I think the Islanders will have some magic tonight, and they'll be able to stretch it to a 7th game. All right, so as I've said, last night was very, very special for me. We were down 4-0. We were getting no hit. All of a sudden, a freshman hits a home run. We're right back in it. The SEC Player of the Year hits a 3-run bomb. It's 5-4. On the biggest stage of college baseball, the Mississippi State fan base showed up huge. I think we're the biggest fan base here. We're kind of dominating Omaha. And in that moment, it was fantastic. It immediately shot to my favorite list of Mississippi State moments I've ever been to, my favorite live events. So, panel, what's the best live sporting event you've ever experienced? Marty, I'll start with you.
No, but let me go last.
You go last.
But did you, during that... The two fans, when the guy put them on the Jumbotron, was right. Like, all right, Mississippi State, you do your thing. He did the maroon and white, and right.
the UVA guy went, and everyone, the Mississippi State just booed him.
Okay, so here's what I felt bad. I felt bad about that because that was in about the eighth inning, right?
I love
it. We had all our mojo. So they put a State fan and a Virginia fan. The State fan does his thing. We all do it. But then the Virginia fan was holding a kid.
Yeah,
he was holding a kid, like a six-year-old kid, and the UVA guy started doing his cheer, and all the Mississippi State fans booed, and I'm like, we're booing a fucking kid. So I felt bad for the kid, but
caught up in the
that's
moment.
Them. That's them. That's Omaha people. They shouldn't have put a kid up there. We were going to boo Virginia. Come on. That's not our fault. That's their fault. Ben Mintz,
live sporting event for me. It's a combo. It was the Saints-Vikings 2009 NFC Championship game. I'm a huge New Orleans guy. Saints after Katrina. When Brett Favre threw the interception back over the middle and the Vikings play-by-play guy says, this isn't Detroit. This is the Super Bowl. And then the Saints kicked the field goal to win it, and everybody in the Superdome was crying. And that was the best. And then the combo, I went to the Super Bowl when the Saints won in Miami, and Tracy Porter had the pick six. And I had a moment after the Saints Super Bowl. I was like, this happened once in my lifetime. I will never complain again about the Saints. And that was tested after the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game. But that's it. Saints Super Bowl, Black and Gold Super Bowl, number one forever. Not even close.
Have you ever complained about the Saints ever since?
I handled that 18, the crazy call, better than anybody. That's what I said. I swore. Like, I literally said I swore I wouldn't complain.
I'm telling you, when Mississippi State wins a national title, I will say I will never complain again, and then I will be complaining preseason of the next year.
Recruiting.
Recruiting, yes. I will complain about the parade. I'll complain about it.
You won't give them like a couple-year grace period? There's usually like the 3 to 5 year grace
period. Yeah, I guess I probably will. I don't know. We've never won a national title, so we've gotten close. Hopefully, maybe this is our year. Big T, you weren't alive for Tennessee's good year, so what are you going to come up with?
Well, I was one in 1998, but the best game I've ever been to was probably I was at game six of the 2017 Western Conference Final when the Preds clinched and went to the Stanley Cup. That they were robbed of by the officials. But that environment that night was super cool.
You chose a Nashville Predators game?
It was the best professional sporting environment I've ever been to. Close second was 2016 Tennessee, Florida, when we came back from down 24-3. We scored 38 straight points.
So you weren't at Tennessee? Yeah, your mic's off. We've made an executive decision we haven't told you about.
That's fine.
So you weren't at Tennessee, Georgia in 2016?
No, I was not at that game.
Yeah.
I was there in 15 when they got up 21-0 and we came back and won.
Carl.
I didn't go any of the Cubs World Series games. Otherwise, I would clearly be one. Those were just impossible tickets to get. The Rose Bowl stands out, even though Illinois lost 49-17. The best live sporting event, all things considered, Game 3, 2003, NLDS. Mark Pryor and Greg Maddux went pitch for pitch. Pryor had a pitch, I think it was like 8 1/3 or 8 innings. Maddux went in like 7 and something. And the only hit was scored on I think it was Darryl Ward, the guy who hit the sausages with the bat. Remember, he was on the Pirates, and he hit one of the sausages.
I thought that was Randall Simon.
Randall Simon had a pinch hit, like two-run single. It was a 2-0 game. I went with my mom. I was 16 years old, and she's a huge influence, Cubs fan, all that stuff. So, like, that's something she and I talk about regularly is that game. And I can tell you anything about it. I love that. Love it. Greg Maddux is also my favorite pitcher athlete of all time.
Really? I didn't know that.
So watching him against my guys, where it was like, I just want to see, obviously I want the Cubs to win, but like leaving there and being like, I just watched Mark Pryor, fuck.
I know.
Saying that, watching him in the October environment against Greg Maddux was like, holy shit, this is as good as it'll ever get for me.
Was your love for Greg Maddux born out of being a Cubs fan and when he was with the Cubs, or just appreciating what he did with the Braves?
What he did with the Braves
is
to me some of the most dominant sporting performances like you can witness. And he did it in a way in the middle of the steroid era. I'm just going to slow you guys down. I'm going to make you guys look stupid. Hey, he'd go to the pitching coach. He'd go to Leo Mazzoni. Hey, Leo, I'll give you 8 tonight because I know we had a bullpen day yesterday.
Yeah.
Go out and throw 8 innings.
Will we ever see a Greg Maddux again? Because everything's about power and spin rate and all this, and it's the way he pitched, just looking like he looked like a professor. You know, he looked like he just came out of a chemistry class. He was just wore polo shirts. He just looked like a normal dude. Walks out there and makes people look silly.
Yeah, the best comparison is Kyle Hendricks, who's won 8 starts in a row, and he's like top 5 ERA since he came to the league, and he's always finishes in Cy Young votes, and he's such an unheralded player. And Greg Maddux is like 10 times better than Kyle Hendricks.
Right.
Kyle Hendricks is one of the best right now doing it, and they have the most similar stuff. And Greg Maddux is like light years ahead of Hendricks' stuff. He could anything curve, change, split the plate, right side, left side, cutter, slider, sinker, anything. And it is a shame you're never going to see it. You're never going to see it again. Nobody gives a fuck the way he did.
Ducks.
The most fun I had enjoying the time was the 62-7 blowout in Miami for the Jaguars playoffs in 99.
Fuck you.
Yeah. But the most exhilarating one, even though it was a loss, Oklahoma when they came to FSU in 2011.
Yeah.
And Clint Trickett had to come in and play the game. We only lost, I think it was like number one against number five. But even though we lost, everyone was leaving that stadium. Like, we just witnessed something. Like, we broke a bench. It was great. It was amazing time.
Was that the night of the Red Lightning? Was that around the time?
That was like his season, yeah.
Remember Red Lightning?
Yeah, yeah. He's still He's still the equipment manager.
He's still doing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has he slowed down?
I don't think so.
I haven't thought about him in years until you just said that.
I feel like it was that
might have been around his breakout.
Yeah, it was definitely. And then Auburn had their guy, like Blue Thunder or whatever they called him. But
fuck Auburn.
That was his year.
Red Lightning missed out by like. He missed out by like 2 years. Red Lightning, yeah, because Red Lightning was a couple years later, like he'd be on PMT, he'd probably have a job at Barstool. Yeah, it'd be great.
All right, Marty Munch, you requested to go last.
Vegas Knights, Buffalo Sabres. Over 5.5. It was one of the best nights of my life. It really was. They scored with 3 seconds left.
Hit the over?
I hit the over. It was beautiful.
Were you there?
Yeah.
In Vegas?
Yep.
Oh, was that during the wedding?
Yeah. But for real, though, Hideki Matsui's first home run, I was there for the Grand Slam.
Really?
And everyone's just like yelling, Godzilla was fucking off.
You must have been young.
Yeah, it's 2003.
So what, 6, 7, so 5, 10?
6 plus 3,
9. Why did you do it like that?
94 to 2000 plus 3.
That's a comic form.
You are you've got an incredible brain, brother. I don't understand how things happen the way they happen.
That's how I do math.
You couldn't go 94 to 2003 just straight?
Always go to zero.
You had to take a turn?
I got
to
be honest with you.
You live life like
that to be egregious.
You know what? I think you live life like a Monopoly board. Your brain is a Monopoly board. Yeah. It goes to this corner and then up.
Yeah.
It never goes straight.
I know.
And you're a big Monopoly guy.
Memorize the board.
Okay. All right. So let's see what we haven't done here. By the way, Carl.
Yes, sir.
The Chinese food draft.
Yeah.
How do you think you did?
I didn't participate.
Oh, how do you think you did on the ice cream draft? That's the one I meant to ask about.
I think I was fair.
Why wasn't the Orange Dream creamsicle drafted in 25 picks?
Because it didn't fit strategies and profiles.
It's ice cream?
It is. It is ice cream. The ice cream draft, I thought, was We should have reeled it in a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, we shouldn't have freestyled that one.
Should have made it more organized.
Yeah, like one category from the truck, one category from a grocery store, one category from a fast food sit-down place.
I think the drafts are some of the most consistently entertaining piece of content Barstool puts out.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. What is the most heated draft that we've ever made, behind the scenes, above board, whatever? What's the standout draft you guys have ever done?
I think the Thanksgiving one where I try to take gravy as a side, or the appetizer one where I try to draft a sampler platter and then I just wouldn't let it go. I still talk about the gravy.
I was on the appetizer one. Yeah.
And I thought it was a good angle.
It was, but I also was very upset.
I was against you. I was against you both times. I don't think gravy can be a side, and I don't think you can take the appetizer sampler.
But I like the fact that I have an opportunity to at least advocate for these aggressive moves.
Yeah.
Eddie won't let me back on because I took rice balls.
Oh, he's tough, man.
Rice balls is a nice thing. I don't even think people know what rice balls are.
I didn't know about them until I went to New Jersey.
So I like the drafts because it gives us a chance, like – you're just – everybody's on a level playing field, and you can just argue and scream and fight about the dumbest things.
Yeah.
It's not personal. It's just like, yo, that sucked.
Yeah, I've been on two. I've been on the wrestling themes draft and then the Swedish quarterbacks draft. And
those are two of my favorites.
And I believe I still hold the record for the largest margin of victory for a guest.
Was that on the –
on the quarterbacks draft.
So the quarterbacks draft, that was really good, but I did find out you and Mintz prepared together.
I mean, no, we didn't. A couple questions.
Did he give you any tips?
Why would he give me tips?
I'm just busting your balls.
I'm the college football guy.
Just busting your balls.
He's a college baseball guy. Doesn't know anything about college baseball.
Oh, I'm coming for this college football. We're going to have some fun this fall.
Shit.
We're going to have fun this fall.
My fucking ass you are. All right. What else we got?
Both your teams stink. Is mine now?
Dude, we're going to be good this year. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not going to be good. You got the worst defense in the fucking country.
Oh, that's going to prove, baby.
Lane Kiffin with titties on the sideline. Looks like me.
Top 10 offense.
Top 10 offense. You lost your only good players. You lost your receivers. You're not going to have a top 10 offense. Matt Corral's probably going to get arrested between now and then.
Led college football in total offense last year. He's going to be awful.
Yay.
These four guys just walking ahead. No fucking clue we're doing a show. Don't worry, guys.
Most electrifying 5-5 season ever.
Too irrelevant.
Got me here. That's the saddest sentence I've ever heard anybody say.
Hey, got me to Barstool Sports. I don't give a crap.
Most electrifying 5-5
season.
Yeah,
the most exciting team in college football.
I have the most incredible 3-inch penis ever.
Bonk.
Bonk, ba bonk, ba bonk.
Let's talk about penis.
Sex.
I might have to get this egg out at some point.
Nice thing about a 3-incher, though, is that you know it's... Never mind. I'm not doing it.
No, I would like for you to...
I was just going to say, you know, she's not going to complain later.
I feel like she would.
It's not like, you know... Hey, man, it's only 3 inches.
Oh, yeah, she just probably knows
what she's doing. What do you say?
Good.
I'll literally be in and out.
It just...
Come and go.
All right, okay.
Shout out to me for making it through this show.
Team player, Marty Boy.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Why the fuck are you clapping for him doing his job?
They saw me coming in. It was a tough scene.
Hold on. Big T went out with you last night, too.
I was with him. Till we went to our hotel.
Every step of the way.
Your cousin didn't give him the Vegas bumps.
Well, he tried to.
I know. My cousin is the worst person in Omaha.
Nutbag, bro. Love him.
All right.
Shout out Uncle Donnie.
I'm getting this. Shout out Uncle Donnie. I hope the fish are biting.
Thank y'all for coming. We'll be back tomorrow. 11 a.m. Tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Our move.